Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. The daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray call and have a yarn. And the First Nation Radio Station is BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Now, battle to end violence against children in Australia's neighbourhood, critically underfunded, World Vision report. We're going to catch up a yarn now with World Vision Australia's Child Rights Senior Policy Advisor, that's Mercy Jammu, on the line. Mercy, very good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Trevor.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Yeah, thank you for coming to the program. We always like to ask mob, who your mob were you from? Who's Mercy Jammu and how long you've been here? And tell us your story there, please, sister.
Thank you. I would like to first acknowledge and pay respect to the traditional owners of the land on which I work and live.
Yes.
It's a privilege. Sovereignty was never ceded.
Yes.
I pay respects to the first peoples of this country, their culture and elders past,
beautiful,
present and
yes,
emerging. I am talking to you from Wurundjeri land,
mm-hmm,
in Melbourne.
Okay.
And I am an African woman,
okay,
from Zimbabwe. My heels are Weza. That is where my mother comes from.
Yes.
And my father is from Shirugwi. So I'm from the Midlands.
Yes.
I'm also from the eastern part of Zimbabwe.
Well, that's beautiful.
And I come to you,
yep,
from New Zealand,
okay,
Aotearoa.
Yes.
And have been in Australia for 3 years.
Well, as a First Nation man, I welcome you and I adopt you, my sister. Welcome to our country.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. You have a beautiful country.
We do,
beautiful,
we do.
People.
And we love having our brothers and sisters of the world who come and join us, and it's great to have you here. Now, World Vision Australia's Child Rights Senior Policy Advisor, you are. Battle to end violence against children in Australia's neighbourhood, critically unfunded, as the report came from the World Vision. So a lot more work needs to be done in this space, in this area, yes?
Yes, that's true. We see that less than 1% of international aid money is used to end violence against children. This is against a backdrop where we know that, you know, more than 1 billion children are experiencing, you know, violence, mm, on a daily basis.
Yes.
And that the effects of COVID-19 have made the situation even worse.
Yes.
And Australia itself is contributing when we look at the funding that is channeled to the Pacific. About a quarter of Australian aid is going to end to the cause of ending violence against children.
Mm.
So that really is not enough.
No.
And we would like the government to step up.
Well, exactly. And when you look at it, the precious cargo we're talking about, our children, and children virtually do not have a voice, do they?
Generally, children don't have a voice.
Mm.
But we also believe that they do and they should.
Yes.
And that we should create opportunities to hear from children,
yes,
to consult with children based on their, you know, growing ability.
Mm-hmm.
So we should, by all intents and purposes, try to hear from children. And World Vision works very closely,
mm-hmm,
with children and young people. And our programs, our advocacy is informed by the experiences of children and young people across the world.
Mercy, when we're talking about violence against children, are we talking from parents or foster parents or from carers or the public? It's just children across the board, is that right?
Yeah, there are various things. I mean, I think it's everyone's responsibility to protect children. And so when we are talking about violence against children, we are talking about physical and humiliating punishment, child sexual abuse, trafficking, child labor, war, and displacement also exposes children to violence. So, you know, children should be kept safe.
Yes.
And there are also other issues such as genital mutilation and child labour.
There's some harsh
online.
Yeah, there's some harsh violence there you're talking about. Is that happening here in Australia as a first world country?
I think aspects of this, yes, are happening in Australia because violence against children is happening all over the world.
Of course, yes.
It's happening in affluent society. It's happening in challenged situations.
Mm.
So, you know, it's a problem the world over. And here in Australia, I mean, although this report is outward focused, we do know and we read on it, you know, every now and then of children, you know, being exposed to violence. And unfortunately, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children are vulnerable.
Yes.
And more vulnerable than the rest of their, you know, age groups.
Exactly,
than other ethnicities. For that, I really usually like to look at the scorecard that was developed by the Australian Human Rights Commission, the Office of the Children's Commissioner, which just gives a graphic description of what's going on in Australia. So, you know, in child protection situations, we find that First Nations children are subject to care and protection orders at 10 times the rate of non-Indigenous children.
Yes, yes. That's so really there's high. A big gap there, and we need to close that gap. We need to protect all children, but you're saying numbers are high in regards to First Nation children, yep?
Yes, yes. So. But that's not to say that other ethnicities do not experience. They do.
Of course, of course.
They do experience violence, but First Nations children, the numbers are even higher.
So there's a lot more work that the government needs to do, and money being a tool is one of the tools that we need and support from the government, yep?
Yes, and I think it's not only money. In terms of the domestic setup, I would say that, of course, money is needed, but also working with First Nations organizations so that they drive their own development.
Yes, yes.
Because they understand their needs even better.
Well, it goes back to the phrase, Mercy, doesn't it? Mercy, goes back to the phrase that it takes a community to raise a child. We all need to be in this together and invest in this space, yes?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so what we are saying to the Australian government in terms of international development, in terms of ending violence against children, say in the Pacific, is asking the government to invest in children, to prioritize children, even during this time of COVID-19, to make sure that protection systems are part of the priority. And we are also asking the government to contribute 55 million dollars over a period of 3 years in the Pacific, because there's such a gap.
There is such a gap, and when you look at $55 million, which is a lot of money, but it's not an expense, it's investment for Australia and future Australia.
Absolutely, because you know what? You know, we have to invest efficiently and adequately for children, because investing in child development is critical for the transition of children into adolescence and adulthood.
Exactly.
So if we want these young people to grow up into adults who can contribute effectively to their communities, you know, we need to start early. We need to look after them, to nurture them.
Yes. And the other thing that comes to mind, Mercy, is invest in the children, look after them, because they are our future, and they will be looking after people like, well, me and you when we get old, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And I have that.
And they'll run the country.
They are not only the future, they are today.
Yes, well,
because
exactly.
Today, they are already a cost.
Yeah.
In the fiscus, they are already a cost. Yeah. So if they are not well looked after, we will be just like an ambulance at the bottom of the cliff.
Yeah.
You know, dealing
Good
with
analogy.
The...
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, you know, dealing with the after effect, we need to go to the grassroots of the problem, to the beginning of the problem. We need to nurture our children. We need to love them. We need to create policies that wrap
and
around
bring the best
child
in them.
The family.
Yes, and bring the best out in the children. We've all got a giant within us. Just bring the giant to the surface. And by nurturing the children, by giving them a strong foundation in love, care, respect, is the tools that every human being needs.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
So for a message for the people out there listening in, how can they help? I mean, keep eyes and ears open for children in distress, love and respect their own children, support all children, even like on the sporting field, the bullying, that sort of racist attitude that comes about, you know. We can all do our bit, can't we, in all phases of life?
Absolutely. There are so many ways that we as individuals in our communities can step up to help. And, you know, you've just articulated it quite well. Mm. Because it's not just the government.
Yes.
The child lives with us. It's our child.
Yes.
We need to love, to nurture this beautiful individual so that they grow. And, in the early years of childhood is when all the brain development happens.
Mm.
That's when the human being really, is created, So we need to support the system around the child, to nurture the child so that they grow up, strong, they grow up happy.
Exactly.
They enjoy their childhood and are able then to grow into a healthy adult.
Exactly.
Because,
beautiful.
There are so many issues with adults, mental health issues.
Of course.
Even with children
themselves. Yes.
And all those are costs that we could actually, prevent or minimize.
Yes.
Just by paying attention. And also just by the government having a plan, a national plan for children in Australia. A plan that then, for example, in the First Nations space, allows that child to grow up within their own environment, within their family, within their extended family,
Yes, exactly.
And supported, culturally.
I mean, if you look at it, adults do have problems in life in regard to mental issues, financial issues, shelter, whatever the case may be, in regards to mishaps in life, a broken marriage, a loss of a job, loss of loved ones, whatever the case may be. So you're going to have problems in life. But if you're a child and you've got all these problems, then you're way behind the eight ball, aren't you? We need a strong foundation from the get-go, and that's at the childhood stage.
Absolutely, absolutely. And with adults experiencing challenges, as you've just named, we need services that can support families to be stronger.
Yes.
That can prop up community when community is weak or frail.
Exactly.
So that we support, ultimately we support this child.
Exactly. Exactly. And listen, it's about love, care, respect, even if you're living in a hut, the love and respect is the best thing that you need, even if you're living in a mansion, no matter where you're living, it's about giving that the foundation of love and respect at the table, at the dinner table.
Yes,
or at the dinner mat if you're eating on the floor. Just that love.
That is what should go on in the home. And outside, the laws should be supportive. The social system should kick in to support, you know, families when they need that support. And, you know, there should be a big plan by the government and big investments into its citizens.
Look, a very important conversation. Thank you very much for sharing, Mercy. Please do keep in touch. And it's about looking after our future Australians, our future human beings who operate on this beautiful planet. And I thank you very much. All the best to you, Mercy Jumo. You take care and we'll talk soon. That's a beautiful yarn there with Mercy Jumo. She's the World Vision Australia's Child Rights Senior Policy Advisor, and talking about the battle against, to end violence against children in Australia's neighbourhood, critically underfunded, and that's the report from World Vision. So they're looking at least $55 million, the action for the government to invest over a three-year period to look after all our beautiful children out there. Have your say, Jan Armstrong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, that daily number 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Full line. together we survive.
If only we survive.
If only we
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know at BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, blood cancer climbed ranks to now become second most diagnosed cancers and second highest cause of cancer-related deaths in Australia. We're going to catch up a yarn with Dr. Tim Murphy. Yarn with Dr. Tim before, Leukemia Foundation General Manager of Blood Cancer Partnerships. On the line, Dr. Tim, good morning. How are you?
G'day, Trent. It's really great to speak to you here from Wurundjeri country again.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, and great to be talking with you again. And looking at the so-called, well, trophy that we don't want, blood cancer ranks to now become second most diagnosed. But I suppose you put a spin on that, the fact that more people are being tested and diagnosing, being diagnosed, it's a good thing because we can fix it or work towards it. Yep.
It is a bad number. I mean, we shouldn't be happy about the number, but it is a good number at the same time because more people are being diagnosed, which means they're going to go into the health system to get treatment. And we're happy about that. The number we're worried about is the fact that people are dying.
Sure.
We want to work with whole communities around the country to make sure people get diagnosed, get access to the best treatment, and help them live as best they possibly can.
Okay.
So decrease that death rate.
Okay, yes, of course. Being diagnosed, look, the good thing that they've been diagnosed in the sense of now we can work towards helping them. Is there light at the end of the tunnel in regard to the after being diagnosed?
There is, and I say that because I'm the eternal optimist. And,
okay.
It is based on the science has told us there's about 150 types of different blood cancers and blood disorders.
Wow.
So, and because of that, there's 150 plus different types of treatments. So depending on the type of blood cancer you have and how quickly you get treated, you'll get access to the best possible treatment. However, some of the cancers are still very aggressive. And we haven't got necessarily in our kit bag all the best treatments available yet.
Okay.
So some cancers, very good survival rates. Others, just because of the nature of the cancer and the nature of the kind of treatments that have been developed, the survival rates aren't so good. It's horrible to say that, but yes, that's our reality, and we have to keep working with reality, Trev.
Yeah, of course, you know. But to everybody out there, if we need to get tested, and if diagnosed, then you just need to work towards longevity, of course.
Longevity is the best thing, and living well within community, caring for each other, these are the hallmarks of our society. We've done it through COVID. Let's keep doing it through blood cancer, because blood cancers aren't going away.
Mm.
47 people today will hear that they've got a blood cancer diagnosis, and that continues on every single day. So we want to make sure that people go to the doctor when they have ailments and they feel unwell, check out if it's a blood cancer, and then when they know what type of cancer it is, make sure you get the treatment and stay on the treatment.
Yeah. Look, we're all in this together is a phrase we can probably use. Is the government doing their bit?
The government has been really helpful in working in partnership with the Leukemia Foundation,
yes,
and the whole blood cancer community. We've created a national action plan, which is the very first time we've said as a nation, let's beat blood cancer collectively. Mm-hmm. So that plan has started. The government has given us some money. Clearly it's not enough, so we want more money to help us fast-track these solutions that we've got in the action plan. But we have a great relationship with Minister Hunt and his office to try and solve these issues.
Yeah, like I said, it's a team effort, isn't it? And I suppose that family is very important when an individual is diagnosed. That's where the family support is a good medicine as well, isn't it?
The family support, you know, family, as we all know, come in many, many shapes and forms. And immediate family, extended family are all wonderful. Then there's the family of helpers and supporters,
yes,
through the Leukemia Foundation. And we've got our World's Greatest Shave fundraising event on at the moment. And that's a wonderful way where communities can help us so we can keep doing the great work that we do to help people in their moments of need. So we're encouraging everyone across the country to either shave their head, colour their hair, or donate to someone in their family or community who's doing that, so we can keep helping your community and the communities right around the country.
Look, that's a good vehicle for donation. You bring in good money there, don't you, yearly with the World's Greatest Shave?
Yeah, we really, you know, it's been running for 23 years. It's,
yes,
it's the longest running major fundraising event in the country. Last year we took a massive hit because
COVID
hit in the middle of, so we had to take a bit of a haircut last year,
yeah,
and we've certainly got a shortcut. But this year we're hoping that the generous Australian community will be generous again as they have year on year to help us so we can help others. So we're looking to 1,000 people right around the country be brave enough to shave their hair,
yep,
and generate $15 million. I know that's a big number, but we know that the Australian public are incredibly generous and,
yeah,
they want to care for their family members, and that's how we help.
Exactly. The old phrase, shoot for the moon if you miss, you land amongst the stars. I'm just saying that the worldsgreatestshave.com, check it out. Also the phone number there, 1-800-500-088. Is that right?
That's right, Trev.
Appreciate that. Dr. Tim, all the best to you. You take care. We'll talk soon,
thanks
my friend.
Thank you so much. See you again, mate. Ta-da.
Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there. Dr. Tim Murphy, Leukemia Foundation General Manager of Blood Cancer Partnerships. And very sad, but blood cancer climbed ranks to now become second most diagnosed cancers and second highest cause of cancer-related deaths in Australia. Dr. Tim did point out that when you come to the second most diagnosed, the fact that people are being diagnosed early, then great, we can tackle it. You know, so that's good news, having those numbers. But the second highest cause of cancer-related deaths in Australia. So we all need to do a bit and get tested. Any way you can help at the fantastic Leukemia Foundation, the World's Greatest Shave, that's a way that you can get your hair cut and act in that deadly donation space, and then money is then taken, is given then to the Leukemia Foundation. So check that out, all the W's, worldgreatestshave, oneword.com, or call 1-800-500-088. You can donate that way as well. Have your say, Jan Upstrong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Great big land. creature in the world. And we are so proud and very lucky. It's a land that tells my people amazing stories. Whoa, it's a damn big island. You follow us, follow.
This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.
We want to pay tribute to all the women across this land. We want to say thank you. It's because of you we can. You raised us from babies to the people we are today. The women before us, they have paved the way. Because of her.
You're a proud young man. You walk this land. On these dusty roads, it seems you'll always stand. It's a long, hard road to where you're going to. As the cars roll by and they stare at you. Now this proud young man took himself a wife and tried to settle down into some sort of life. By some strange rules people call the law, he could land in trouble, and pretty soon he'd soar. Though they tried to cut him down, he was stronger now it seemed. For his life was mostly made up of his lost and broken dreams. He could kneel down by a waterhole and pick up a handful of sand. They'll take many things away from you, but you're still a proud young man. The day was hot, and 30 years from then. Now his three sons are full-grown men. They comfort their mother in her grief and despair, for their proud old father was no longer there. The people all gathered and walked toward his grave, as a wiry old priest began, by God he was saved. And he went on to talk of good old Sam, and said here lies a very proud old man. Tried to cut him down, he was stronger now it seemed. For his life was mostly made up of his lost and broken dreams. He could kneel down by a waterhole and pick up a handful of sand. They'll take many things away from you, but you're still a proud young man. They'll take many things away from you, but you're still a proud young
man. Yeah, proud young man. That's Too Deadly. Troy Cassidelli here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Number you need to call, about 12 minutes left on the program. A one-hour program, and come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM, Bummer Brip Media, 19.7 FM. And we go across the country thanks to the NERS, National Digital Radio Service. A voice for our people, Yarn in Circle, do you utilise it, your mob? If you're on the shy side, you can text the brother, 0457140550. And Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. And when you call that number, 1-800-422-416, Yarn with the ball around your host, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and steering your ship, it is your ship, and Yarn Up Strong here on your deadly program, National Talk Black. And news here from the SBS, Auntie Julie Black was taken from her mother after birth and reuniting with her mob healed her Aboriginal soul. And it's been 13 years since the Rudd government made a formal apology to Australia's Indigenous people, particularly to the Stolen Generations. Community leader says its impact still lives on. Bajinka woman, Auntie Julie Black, was taken from her mother shortly after she was born. The 64-year-old was one of thousands of Indigenous children who were forcibly removed from their families. She says she suffered traumatic experiences with her new foster mother, and from the age of four, I was locked in the outside dunny, Auntie Julie said in an interview seen by the SBS News. I remember I was playing that day with my teddy bears, and she yanked me out and up the stairs because it started to rain. I was crying because I wanted to go and save my teddy bears because the water was coming down on top of them. She shoved me down there. I picked them all up, and they fell apart in my hands. I think that upset me. Upset her, and she locked me in the outside dunny. Auntie Julie said that was the start of it. I'd been locked in there for 4 hours, different days, different times, she says. I'd say a prayer that my little, that my real mum would come and get me, take me home. I didn't want to be there. It wasn't until she turned 25 that Auntie Julie was finally reunited with her mother. She came out. I said, are you Patsy Black? She said, no, I'm your mum. I'm your mummy. Best cuddle I've ever had since I was a baby. And Auntie Julie shared her story with SBS. And as I said, Australia, 13 years marks Australia's day since the former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd's national apology to the stolen generation. And the story here also comes from Fiona Peterson, CEO of Healing Foundation, an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisation supporting the healing of stolen generation survivors, families and communities, said the apology was still seen as pivotal. It's a recent memory for our stolen generation survivors and descendants, she told SBS News. It was a huge thing to hear from the most senior person leading our government, the word sorry, and to acknowledge the pain and trauma and the hurt that for many years our survivors wouldn't talk about because of the awareness that, that was the time when no one could have imagined that an apology like that could go from Parliament to our survivors. And Mr. Rudd said an Indigenous voice to Parliament must be entrenched in the Constitution. Bipartisan support, the far right of Australia will always seize every opportunity to trash a limited legislated national voice as somehow illegitimate, he told SBS. In a break from long-standing practices, the government won't deliver the closing the gap statement this month to coincide with the apology. So still a lot of work to be done, and apologies, yes, take it on board, but we are still behind the eight ball in regard to closing the gap in all facets of life. But there's a story there by Auntie Julie and her life, and many others, elders out there who some have moved on into the other world with us in spirit, but we still carry the generational pain that was caused to our mob, First Nation people in this country. Have you say, Jan, I'm sorry, 7 minutes left on the program. I want to hear what you're going to say here on National Talk Black. Let's go to the Mill Sisters. Are you from TI?
Up in the sky, so far away, there is a place for everyone. The moon and stars that always shines out of the ocean wave. And when the lazy waves roll by, like breezes blowing, memories, oh yes, yes, somewhere there's joy. It's always a place for me. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild, wild night tree grows. Are you from Torres Strait or any place, including Central Way? Any place is just around by Mardi or Way. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild, wild night tree grows? Are you from Torres Strait or any place, including Central Way? Any place is just around by Mardi or Way. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Well, I'm from TI too. Are you from TI? Are you from TI? Where the wild, wild, wild night. Are you from Torres Strait or any place, including Central?
Beautiful voice, Cuzzy there, Rochelle Watson-Pitt. Big shout out, my sister. Hope you're well. If you got a problem, is the name of that deadly track. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trev here, Murray from the Curry, going to sign off with the program. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in a pandemic. Abide by the rules, you mob. Too deadly. We'll be right back.
up.